church? Do we have the love of Jesus deep down in our heart yet? Can we give a little bit of an expression of our gratitude to Walter Wiggles leading his first song for us, as well as the worship team? It is really exciting for us to be together. Like they said, my name is Jeff, my beautiful wife Amanda, our three kiddos. See, that's why I have friends, is because I married Amanda. This is our family. That was our wedding. So that's my wife Amanda. The day we were married, she looks just like that, actually. Been 15 years almost in December. Those are our three kiddos. We're excited to be here. And I just want to say thank you. I know there were a lot of them already. I want to extend it not just to the team. Joey Two Shoes is a particular inspiring figure in my life, formative in my faith. But truly, I think whether it's the fun, the laughter, the entire team, the church, the St. Louis Church, as well as the Heartland region, the devotion to building Village together is obvious, real, and felt. And so can we just say thank you to the church here and the way they've opened up, especially those of us who have been visiting. Can we give an expression of our gratitude to them? Thank you guys very much. And if you've got a Bible, you can turn over to Matthew chapter 12. Now, I'm going to borrow this. Whoever this is, thank you for your contribution to the sermon this morning. It's very cool and exciting to be here. It's always a little bit of a family reunion. I'm seeing old friendly faces from San Antonio. I see the Coles here today. This is awesome. I needed some adult supervision. I'm so glad they are actually here this morning. But in Matthew chapter 12 is where we're going to be going. Now, we've learned a lot so far this weekend. We've learned about mission. And then we learned about how, you know, wide and deep, that, you know, we learned a lot about the Lord's love. I will spare you the rest of that song for all of our sakes. But I was thinking, man, the Silly Chilies, I was wondering next year maybe we remix it, and instead of Silly Chilies, we have Over the Hillies. And I was thinking the inspiration level of having, like, Ron Hammer, Lou Garcia, Michael Hammer. We'll make it multi-generational. And they could be up here showing us. That sounds inspiring to me, doesn't it? Maybe to you too? No? Okay. Well, I'll allow you to pray on that for the next year. The gray hair can inspire us all. In Matthew chapter 12 is where we're going to be. Now, the truth of it is that in the book of Jonah is what we've been focusing on this entire weekend. Which, if you've read the book of Jonah recently, is amazing. Now, but the truth is that there's only one time outside of the book of Jonah where anyone talks about Jonah. And it's actually Jesus. Now, I got to warn you. It's a spicy meatball. So this one, you're like, man, this, you know, and this part of our sermon, it's not just for our kiddos, it's for all of us in here today. And it's interesting to me, and honestly, this has been stuck in my mind all week as I've been thinking about why Jesus reaches back into history and wants us to be thinking about Jonah even today and what we're doing right now. And read with me in Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to read together in verse 38 through 42. And it says, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. Verse 39, he answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asked for a miraculous sign. You're like, wow, great family weekend passage here. Jeff, good start. No, let's keep reading. But none will be given it. Except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish. Was it a whale, gang?
No.
No, it is not a mammal. It's a fish. It's different. It would have smelt worse. That's right. In the heart of a big fish. So the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now, one greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the heartland region. No, sorry. Ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now one greater than Solomon is here. This is really interesting to me. And the Pharisees, man, the teachers of the law, they came together to Jesus and they go, we want a sign. Show us something so that we'll believe. And I don't know about you. I kind of read the Bible and I anybody here actually want a sign too? Like, man, if Jesus would just text me, I would repent. Right? If I had a dream and an angel came to me and said, Jeff, it's time to get your act together, then I'd change, right? But the truth of it is, if you woke up after that text message or that dream and told your spouse or told your friend, they would recommend you to another kind of professional. We'd explain it away. And what Jesus says, these guys come to him, and the Pharisees are a lot like us in our church, more than I think we might want to admit. They started as a group of people that were serious about getting back into God's word, to protecting the culture of the church and not wanting to just be like the world, not wanting to be so wicked or adulterous or messed up, not wanting to compromise, wanting to be a light. I think we can relate to that. And in a few generations, we get to this moment where they're going, no, show us a sign. The Bible actually isn't enough anymore. No, we want a sign. Show us something. And what's incredible to me is that Jesus tells them, the only sign you're going to get is the prophet Jonah. And I'll be honest, that kind of stopped. You ever start reading the Bible and you kind of get confused? You scratch your head and you're like, what's up with that? Yeah. We in Wichita have been preaching through the ministry of Jesus, and the word that keeps coming up is unexpected. Jesus is so unexpected, so different than what you want him to be. But you reading on this and you're expecting Jesus to go, fine, here, 5,000 more people, come here, let's do the food thing. I feel like Averback, you know, Dave's got that skill. He can feed 5,000 with one air fryer, right? Like, he's got those skills. I don't have those. But he comes in and we're expecting a miracle, maybe expecting a great teaching or, I don't know, another voice from God. And actually Jesus goes, no. No, it's the only sign you're going to get. It's like Jonah. He went to a fish for 3 days and three nights. So the Son of Man is going to go into the earth for 3 days and three nights too. Now my question is, hold on, 3 days and three nights, what is he talking about, guys? What is Jesus saying? He's talking about Jonah and the fish, but he's talking about Jesus in a tomb. And we know the end of that story. Jesus' death, his burial, resurrection. And what got me thinking is, why that sign? Anybody ever thought about, like, why? Because you know what? The thing is that signs mean something. All right, I need some help here. Oh, there we go. See, if you were wondering, see, now you've got your sign, that signs mean something. All right, what does this sign mean? Any of the kiddos help me out? What does this sign mean? Veronica, what's this one? It's a family bathroom. So if you're like, oh, I got a TT, you're looking for this sign means something, right? Now, what about this one? All right, what does this sign mean? Yeah, in the back. It's stop. Yeah, but we don't even have the word on there and we know, right? Any Texans among us? What is this one? Buc-ee's. And if you haven't had their beaver nuggets, then you don't know what true addiction is like yet. So if you're like, Jeff, I need diabetes quickly, those beaver nuggets will help you immediately. They are delicious. Some guy has an entire company where he buys stuff from Buc-ee's and resells it online. It's amazing. All right, anybody know what this one was? Millie, McDonald's! It's not good for you, but do we know what signs are when we see them? Signs mean something. You're meant to see this and go, man, I could use a McMuffin. Right? It's meant to mean something. It's meant, and this is the colors that they choose, the emotions that are attached. It's meant to get you to remember, to feel, to connect. And when you see this, you go, I don't just remember a sausage and egg McMuffin. I remember when I was with my dad growing up and we would go there before church. We're meant to feel. We're meant to remember. Signs do something. And he goes, this generation who won't believe, who's struggling, who demand a sign, who have even lost some of their love and the base of the scriptures, man, can us, I gotta go, parents, this one's for us. We're 3-4 generations deep in our circle of churches. No one's forcing the culture of discipleship and humility. Advice really now means advice. Which means, don't tell me I need to listen to anyone. And I think we've thrown out way too much baby with old bad bathwater. And I think if you're like, well, Jeff, or maybe you're even visiting today, and you're like, Jeff, what in the world? All these signs, what are you talking about? I want to see a sign. I want to grow in my faith. And Jesus goes to someone, and it got me thinking, why is it that when someone can't even, they don't even have roots in the scriptures, they're not moved anymore, why is this sign the only sign that'll work? And it's meant to make us ask, but hold on, what does this sign mean? What does this sign mean? And it's meant to make you not just think, but to feel something. Turn with me. Just let's look at a few passages together. What does this mean? John chapter 3. If you're anything like me, maybe you've gotten a little bit hard-hearted about this one because there's too many Super Bowl signs. Too many easy believisms. Too many shooting from the hip, but no passion or devotion afterwards. But this scripture is true. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God so was furious and frustrated and impatient. No. That God was so tired of all your secrets. No. That God was so disappointed? No. God so loved you. You're like, Jeff, I understand. I know that he loves Erica Willis, but you don't know me. And that might be true. But God does. God's always known. He's not surprised. He's always known all the secrets. You think you're in darkness and hiding. God goes, I see it all. I know everything. And I so loved you there. That's what this sign means. Romans chapter 5. Turn over there with me. What does this sign mean? Romans chapter 5. In verse 6, it says, you see, at just the right time. I love that. It's like just in the nick of time. Now, anybody here ever studied out your sin before? Anybody ever have a friend go, hey, did you know there are lists in the Bible? You're like, there's a colon here. There's a list of this stuff. And we start reading, and you're like, anybody remember what it was like to go, oh, that's a sin? Oh, no. Oh. I remember reading some of those lists, and they were like, hey, any of this in your life? I'm like, it would be easier to talk about what isn't in my life. Witchcraft. I didn't cast fireball. They're like, that's not what you mean. I'm like, I've run the whole list. Blackout. I got the whole bingo. I got the whole card filled. And you might start to go and start to understand, because really when you open the scriptures, you don't just learn about God more, you learn about you more too. And what God's already seen and known. And it says at just the right time, just that time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love. His own love. His own love for us. In this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What does this sign mean? It's love. First John 4. Here's the last one we'll read together. Because sometimes you got to see a sign a few times to actually take the exit. You know what I'm saying? I remember we drove here from Wichita. It's like 6 hours and 50 minutes, unless you have 300 kids, and then it's about 8 hours. Yeah. And so as you're driving past it, Dad, I got a TT. All right, let's look for a sign. And you see one, but if you don't take that exit, man, you're just hoping for another one. So it's good to look for the same exit a couple of times. You guys with me on this one? And in 1 John chapter 4, in 9 and 10, this is the same apostle that when someone didn't get what God was trying to do, wanted to call down thunder and lightning. He says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into this world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What is this about? This is a sign that's all about love. Now, if you ask, and I often ask my kiddos, especially if we've had a little discipline and we're hugging, we're connecting, I ask my kiddos, how much does Daddy love you? How much does Daddy love you, Juju? To heaven and back. What is this sign, friends? Trying to get you to understand what signs mean something. He's trying to get you that he loves you to heaven and back. The only person that's ever gone from heaven and back is the one that came for you and me. That this sign, this is a sign, it is a billboard across your darkest places, across all eternity, shouting to you and to me, I love you. I love you to heaven and back. I love you. I love you. I don't care where you're at or what you've done or all the secrets and all the shame. You can convince yourself that you're not worth it. And Jesus goes, you are, and I know you, and I made you. I love you. That's this sign. It's the only sign that works. It's the only sign that Satan has no weapon, no defense, no argument against. It's the only sign that will always work. But the question becomes, will you take the exit? And this morning, I'll encourage parents, you can keep reading the rest of this passage. It only gets spicier. But I think sometimes when we see this, we go, man, it's the kiddos that really need to understand this. This is a children's ministry lesson. Thanks, Jeff. I think our kids need to know this. And I think they need to see it in us. But mom and dad, friends, aunts and uncles, the grandparents, spiritual and biological, this question, and I think our kids, and I think this world is asking, is this sign still getting us to pull off the road? And does it still call our name? And does it still move us? Does it still change our heart? Does it still shout down the lies of Satan and the ones that we tell ourselves? Is this sign still the most important sign that we look to when we feel like we can't do it, that we feel hopeless, or we feel like I don't belong in this family? And I think we all wrestle with that. And I actually think when you're generations into a movement that's all about the scriptures, if you don't get the heart and the real sign behind it all, eventually our hearts change and they harden. And that's why I think God's trying to get mom, dad, friends, we got to be like our kids. It's not because they have a lack of knowledge, it's because they believe mom and dad when they look them in the eye and say, I love you. And I think this morning, no matter where you're at, maybe you're visiting with us this morning and you're like, wow, this is a different kind of service. We don't usually have all the kids in here. There's an increased chaos in the room. And I love it. Alice goes, okay, so I need you to do 20 minutes, highly interactive, needs to be deep, move the parents' heart, don't bore the kids, no one gets to sleep. Can you do that? And I was like, no, but I'll do something, and I hope this checks the box this morning. But I want to encourage us to get our eyes back up and see the sign, the only sign that works. The billboard across all eternity where God is telling you and me, the whole world, the people you hate, the people that won't forgive you, the people you won't forgive, the people that don't understand you, or even the person in the mirror when you feel like they don't belong here, that God is saying, yes, you do. Come back, come home, and I've come to take you. Why? Because he loves you to heaven and back. Let's pray as we break bread and take the cup of communion together. Holy Father, good morning. What a cool thing it is that we get to worship with our children. And as we're gathered here, God, I just pray that we look up and see that it is true that there was a cross and there was a terribly scary, painful story. But it didn't end that way. That God, that tomb was empty. That you killed death. And you buried all fear and hopelessness with it. And that God, that tomb is, it is empty. And our life does not have to be. That this billboard, this sign that you're showing us, God, is that you love us. You love us all, no matter even if we don't understand how much we need it. And this morning, Father, I pray, whether we are just getting started in our walk, or whether, Father, that we've been doing this for decades, help us all to be reminded, you love us. You love us deeply. You love us completely. That it's a personal, overwhelming, reckless love, because you love us to heaven and back. As we break this bread, help us to remember your body that was the way you loved us. That your blood that was spilt to wash us clean and bring us home, because you love us. And that as we look to the cross in this empty tomb, that this is love. We love you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.